o'clock on Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
Oh, it's Kiva on Indie Views. It's Kiva Artist Interview. Right now on Butterflies
Radio,
where it's all indie all the
Now, is it just you that I have, or is the whole band there?
No, it's there were going to be two of us, but the second person might join. Now, would you prefer them to be here with a little bit of noise of a baby?
Oh, I don't care.
You don't mind? Okay.
Oh. No.
Okay.
I actually interviewed somebody who had his he's kind of a stay-at-home dad too, musician, had his baby with him, and it was she had a few things to say during the interview, so that was kind of fun.
That actually helps, because I write all the songs with my wife, so but yeah, we're both in the band, and she's the other songwriter, so that would probably be a bit.
Oh yeah. So I'll bring the baby. That would be. I think that's fine. If you might hear my dogs bark, so.
Okay, I'll go on. Okay, she's just on her way.
Now, how do you say your name?
Fraser.
Fraser.
You know,
right?
Americans say Frasier.
Yeah, and that's what I would, because we had, you know, the Fraser Crane show with Kelsey Grammer, and that's, I thought I need to ask because I'm pretty sure they say it differently, but I don't want to say it wrong.
I haven't thought of that before. Fraser Paper Cranes.
Yes, there you go. See?
But it's Fraser.
You didn't know that when you named the band.
No. No, so, yeah, it's Fraser. Like, it's a Scottish version, I guess, of the same name. So.
Very cool. Now, what's your wife's name?
Her name's Naomi, but she grew up in Japan, so she calls herself Naomi. Yeah, I really enjoyed, I've only been there once, but I really enjoyed when I visited. It's such a, very interesting culture and kind of what you expect, but then there's a few things that are quite different, so.
Now, are you in Auckland?
Yeah, so I was just thinking, it's because it's, there are over a million people here, so it's actually bigger than where you are, but biggest city in New Zealand, but it's still pretty tiny, isn't it, for a city? So
hello.
Hi,
Kiva.
Naomi.
Hi,
baby.
The baby's talking.
How old is the baby?
He's 8 months old.
Oh, that's so cute. They're so sweet when they're that age.
They are. They're very easy to look after. We thought we might put some of his voices in our next song as sound effects.
Yeah, I've had people that have put their kids in their videos or, you know, the cover of their albums. So it's nice to incorporate it and make it kind of a family thing.
Yeah, true, true.
Yeah, well, and it's especially with folk music, because I mean, I guess ours is kind of, there's a bit of poppy influence in there, but it's a lot of kind of folk music, and yeah, I think it suits the kind of homely thing.
Yeah, I think it does too. And when you brought that up, your bio on Reverb Nation doesn't tell you a lot, so
okay.
I thought, you guys are very mysterious, so
I find what you're talking about, because I have Reverb Nation,
and I think I tend to gravitate toward folk music.
Cool, yeah, I love it. It's just I feel like it's what drew us to it was the honesty of things. So we're trying to with our next project, we're gonna I guess follow the same lines as we did on the last one, which is try to record without tinkering with any of the voices, especially and the instruments and so on. So it's all kind of live. Well, not all of it's live takes, but a lot of it would be live takes. On the last project, a lot of it was just a live take with a kind of if there were anything, you know, anything that quite worked.
I like that. I like going to gigs. I like going to see people perform live. And one of the ones that I really like seeing, he sings, he's a folk singer. And I just like it because in the middle of the song, you know, stop, tell a story,
yes.
And go back to it. And it's just, you kind of relate more on a human, personal level. Yeah, and you always look forward to that. It's different stories, different times, and you just, I think you relate more in folk music. It's really personal.
Yeah, and there's something special about having taken a live recording where you've been in the same room together and sung together rather than listening to a voice through the speakers or through your earphones and harmonizing to that. Yeah, something special about it.
Yeah, I can, you know, I'm not a musician, but I can imagine how hard that would be. You know, I see like, you know, music videos or different things where things are taped out of order. And
yes.
I think I'm with you. I just like the whole, how you react to the person that's with you and in the crowd that's with you. It's just, I like the organic. I like it to just happen organically.
Yeah, totally.
The first song of the night is Little Darling, which is my choice song of the night, and was also the song that got Paper Cranes into the Butterflies Radio artist rotation. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy my interview with a really great couple, great musicians.
Darling, just hold my hand. Keep close now, this is foreign land. Little darling, hold on to your heart. Stay close now, lest we're torn apart. If you're smiling, laugh at the devil and dance on his grave, you might just save your soul. Darling, see the tears in your eyes. Little darling, keep close to my side. The thief might strike, so take my hand. The thief is not a myth any more than the righteous man. If you're you laugh at the devil and dance on his grave, you might just save your soul.
Now, you guys said in the bio, though, on there, that you're into unusual instruments.
Yeah. Now, Naomi's just gone for a second, but I was trying to answer the door. I think it was. But she's into kind of, well, because of her background in the Japanese culture. Mm-hmm. Naomi obviously was influenced by that. So she has she uses a kind of Japanese flute, I guess you'd call it, and it's called a shakuhachi. And you can hear that in two of the tracks at the beginning of our EP, which are Take no Uta and All My Life. And yeah, it's kind of a haunting, it's a beautiful haunting sound. It's not, often when people think of flutes, it's kind of, you know, they're kind of a bit piercing or so on.
Yeah.
But this is, it's got kind of a body to it. And I think it's because it's made, rather than, you know, the European ones, which are made out of metal, it's made out of wood. So I guess it's kind of like that whole, in America, where you've got the American Indian flutes and so on, they're all wood, aren't they? So it's kind of got a similar sound, but they're usually made out, shakuhachis are usually made out of a long piece of bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got kind of a bit of a body to the sound. It's quite beautiful. You can hear it on the first two tracks in the EP. So on the cover of the EP, that's Naomi as a little girl. So she,
aww.
Yeah, it's cute. So she was
red hair.
Yeah, kind of ready. Now I think it's an old photo. It's kind of made it more look kind of red, but it's because it's a photo from, I don't know, I guess early 80s or something, mid 80s. But and then the little kid with her is a little Japanese friend she had, a little boy.
Aww.
Her first boyfriend, she says. Naomi and I, obviously, because she grew up in Japan, I've kind of taken quite an interest to it. And when we started the band, we were just around the time we started the band, we went to Japan. So it kind of took on quite an influence for the first project. So
mm-hmm.
for the EP.
That's good.
Now, he was saying that you grew up in Japan.
I did. Yes, I was born there and lived there for 17 years. Went to a local Japanese school. Grew up thinking I was more Japanese than Kiwi.
Yeah.
And at the age of 17, my parents decided to bring us back to New Zealand to give us a chance to speak English and, you know, learn things a bit more in English and to have a choice of either living in Japan or New Zealand rather than becoming totally Japanese, which was, I guess, a really good idea. But that gave me a different upbringing, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was telling me about an instrument that you play that is a Japanese kind of flute.
Yeah. It's called a shakuhachi. It's made with bamboo, and it's quite a cultural, or it's a very cultural instrument in Japan. It creates this haunting sound. It's very, very ethnic, ethereal, but it happened to fit some of the songs that we had, and so it's been lovely to be able to have something that's part of where I grew up as part of our songs. I've actually got my shakuhachi here if you want to hear a little bit.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
I'm a Japanese expert.
You might have to adjust the sound a little bit so it doesn't clip. Maybe go back a bit.
Oh, it's not that bad. Okay, here we go.
It's just beautiful, and you know, when you started playing it, then it sounds familiar. It kind of takes me to Japan. Then I realize it's an instrument that I've heard, you know, in movies.
True.
You know, featuring there or in Japan, you I heard that and it just seemed like Japan.
Yeah.
Very, very pretty.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, growing up in Japan, did you learn music when you were there, or?
I learned the piano from the age of about 7, and that was, yeah, and then I learned the classical flute in high school, and those were the two main instruments, but the shakuhachi I picked up in New Zealand. It was actually a man who lives in New Zealand, a Kiwi, New Zealander, who makes them, and he's very fascinated with Japanese and Chinese bamboo flutes, so we were very fortunate to run into him and be able to buy one of them.
I was going to say, how lucky are you to find that instrument there, because I don't know that we'd be able to find it here.
No, it was just a coincidence. He actually owns a pottery shop as well, and he's blind, which is another amazing.
Oh, wow.
He's just an amazing guy. And we went to buy pottery and then found out he made these shakuhachis, which was amazing.
It was meant to be.
It was totally meant to be.
The funny thing is, we went to Japan because we were thinking, when we went to Japan, we thought, oh, well, we'll get a genuine one. But the one, when we went to buy them, they're like, they were telling us, oh, no, you can't get a bamboo one. That would be, only the master craftsmen make them, and they're so expensive and so on. So we're sitting here with a bamboo one from New Zealand, which is amazing. So
that is amazing. And clearly, with him being blind, too, I think that probably heightens his senses of being much more aware of the sound and just being in tune with that and his hands in creating the instrument.
Yes, totally.
Next up is All My Life.
Now, what's the music scene like in New Zealand?
Well, because we're based in Auckland, we've done most of our gigs in Auckland at the moment. So, like I was saying before, we started as a duo, and then, so the band's only really been around this year. Since halfway through last year. So, as a band, we've kind of just been working the local scene. So, in Auckland, I guess it's quite mixed. There's actually quite a lot going on. There's the folk scene is kind of quite large in a sense. There's quite a few bands who we can gig with, and it's got a decent rock scene and so on. Indie kind of scene as well. A lot of the clubs we play are kind of little cafes and bars and. Yeah, there's quite a few venues around that love folk stuff. So,
I know some of my friends in Australia. One of their complaints is, you know, people will tour here more, and they don't get to go to Australia or to New Zealand because it's kind of remote. You know, for people, say, from England to go down there, or people from here, and they're jealous. But that being said,
yeah.
So you guys get to see a lot of stuff that we don't get to see, you know, in turn. It'd be nice if there was a bridge, you know, to make it easy to go back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the one interesting thing about the local scene here is that because there's not really much money and things and people tend to gravitate to whatever they want to do, in a sense, if you know what I mean, rather than going, oh, I'm going to make it big, so I'll go and play rock or whatever. They don't like rock. They won't play it because there's no money in anything. So you kind of enjoy that. I feel like it keeps it quite honest. But
You get to befriend people. Musicians tend to gravitate towards musicians. So we've befriended people who's just set up a studio in his garage. So we record with him because we can afford each other. And yeah, the friendship kind of develops through sort of getting to know different musicians, gigging together. It's very laid back. we know we don't make much money out of it, but it's more for the passion of music than anything. So it's quite lovely. We enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it's, I like that. I like it when the music, I think you can tell when the music comes from a place of love in somebody instead of it just being a job or something people have gotten tired of doing. I think when you really, it is your passion that it comes through in the music.
Yeah.
And it is, like you said, with a community of musicians, it's really, I see that a lot with indie music all over the world. There, when I went to the Artist of Music Awards in LA in February,
right.
And there aren't people that go, oh, I want to win, and I really hope that that other person doesn't win,
right.
Or I don't like their music. They're very supportive of each other, and just, you know, if that person wins, I'm very happy for them, and I like that. I like the community of in indie music, just how supportive people are.
Yes, and it takes the pressure off too.
It does. You can just enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoy each other's music, learn from each other, get a few tips. And you get the other good thing is because music scene is not as big as some countries. We need to know these musicians in different parts of town so we can actually contact them and gig with them in different cities. It makes it easier. So if they're gigging, they invite us to their city and we play with them, that kind of thing. It's quite nice.
And then you kind of get into their, they have a fan base and you have a fan base and
share our fans.
I've discovered that when I go see somebody in you know, at a bar or somewhere at a gig, and I go to see them, and I discover a new musician through their opening act that I hadn't planned on, and, you know, fall in love with music that way.
Yeah.
So
it's
very nice to be that supportive.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Next, we have Leaving the Heaviness. Thought were dreams.
time I back away.
So you both write the songs, correct?
Well, yeah, we kind of collaborate when we write them. So normally what happens is I have an idea, or I start the song, or I get the ball rolling, and Naomi and I then kind of workshop it and fix it up. And Naomi's written a couple of the songs. So one of the songs on the EP was mostly her. That's the instrumental one at the start. We kind of just collaborate on it and eventually it comes out.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be nice too that you, if you have something, you live with the other part of the band, you live with the musician, and you can kind of bounce it off of them or say, you know, I'm writing this, can you sing something to this, or, you know, let's play something and see how this works.
Well, often I get Naomi to sing the melody line while I'm trying to figure out something else. So, because when you're singing and playing one instrument, you obviously can't put another instrument on top of it. So,
right.
And, you know, I probably should just get a loop pedal in one sense. But, so she will often sing the melody line or play it something while I take over another instrument or vice versa. She'll play something else, so.
You could have a late night and the baby could wake you up at 2 a.m. and you're both sitting there, oh, this is a good time, you know, to write a song or,
yeah,
you know.
Well, funny you say that. With baby around, we've started to sing more often as a form of entertainment for the baby. The songs are getting simpler and simpler. And the other day we decided we should probably record a kids album because our lyrics have dwindled down to, let's dance and play.
I interviewed Helen Austin, and she's in Vancouver Island in Canada. And she had several albums, and then she wrote a children's album.
Oh.
And it was very nice and very, she plays the ukulele. And I think that's just a happy instrument. And I think it lends itself very, very well to children's music. So you could easily do that. you know, write a children's album and go with that. So that should be your next project.
Or side project, maybe.
Yeah, we're thinking of doing something like that with a completely different name, disguise ourselves, but it'll be fun.
Yeah. Now, I've known that too. The girl that I told you that went to Alaska, yeah. She was also part of a duet, a duo for another. So they had a different name, you know, without her name. And
yeah,
I like that. Just the two different identities. And it's much like writing, and you have a fake name that you write under. Yeah. Yep. So you should do that kind of stealth children's album.
Yeah.
It'd be quite fun.
Now, how has it changed with the baby? How has the baby changed the way, I guess, music as a whole in rehearsing or writing or gigging? How has it changed things for you?
I actually think it's probably made us more focused in a way, because, and you know, you've got time limits on things, and you just kind of try to get through things and try to focus on stuff a bit more. So we've, for gigs and practice, rehearsal and so on, we've got regular rehearsals and, do regular gigs. So we've got a bit of a pool of people to look after him while we're doing that. But in terms of the music, actually, it's probably changed the music the most, I think. The EP that you'll be able to listen to, Oh Love, has quite a melancholic flavour to a lot of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I wouldn't say it's really dark, but it's a bit darker than our new material. Our new material is quite kind of happy and boppy and so on. And I think that's probably down to becoming parents. It kind of changed our outlook a little and made us, I guess, a little bit more lighthearted than we were. Well, at least me, anyway. And
we wrote one song called Be My Home, and that we've actually dedicated it to our son, because it's about parenthood, really.
Oh.
Yeah. So actually, in the new project we're working on now, we're recording stuff at the moment, is going to be around the themes of home and coming home or being at home. Or, you know, just...
See? And that'll lead to the children's album.
Yeah. Or, where you find your, you know, where you find your home.
Or being home to someone.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, I guess, and he's influenced the themes as well, not just the practice times and things. So.
Next song is Isolation.
Me through the din, a crying voice amongst the crowd, a hand that touched the cloak, the silent shout over loud, and I'm no good in isolation, it gnaws at me. And ringing, buzzing silences that grate on me. An empty room is no solace if you leave me be. I lose my way alone, so come be with me. Sweet relief, well, it's a pain to me. Inextricably bound by reason, I'm all at sea. Well, I'm never who you think I am, just a small doses person. But I hear that faith heals when pride crumbles. And I am no good in isolation, it gnaws at me. And ring and buzz there's no solace if you leave me be. I lose my way alone. So, oh, so come be with me, yeah. Come be with me, come be with me.
Now, how long have you lived in New Zealand, Naomi?
I've lived, oh, it's my 15th year now. So, yeah, 15 years. Oh, you'd probably be able to guess my age.
So, kind of half your life in Japan and half your life in New Zealand.
Yes, it's coming up to the half mark, halfway point. I had to sit a Japanese competency test the other day, and I so wish that I'd sat it 15 years ago when it was all fresh in my mind, because a lot of things I had to go on memory and I'd realized how much I'd forgotten.
It's funny that you say that, because there was a thing on the computer the other day. It was, could you pass a U.S. citizenship test?
Yes.
And I thought, oh, I could do that easy.
Yeah.
And I took the test and I failed.
And
I thought,
did you lose your citizenship?
I know it. I hope that it doesn't send it to the consulate and they say citizenship revoked because you failed.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
Oh man, that would be
so
dead.
True. When you have lived somewhere, you know, I consider Japan my sort of my home, in the sense that it's developed a lot of my my thinking, my ideas, and it sort of made me who I am now. And if I fail a test like that, I haven't failed, well, I don't know yet, but if you fail something like that, you kind of think, oh, who am I?
Yeah.
How much have I lost? Yeah.
And for me, you know, being a journalist, I stay on top of the news, and I think I was really disappointed in myself for failing, because I thought, how do I not know these things? But I guess I know current events much more than the historical part of it. And
that's
a shame, you know.
Yeah,
well, it's a good thing I'm already a citizen, so I don't lose that.
You don't. You're safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, how did you two meet?
Naomi, well, I was moving out of a flat that Naomi was moving into. That's a short story.
That's how we first met. But we actually got together on a night where our... Now, this is interesting. This friend of ours, who's half Japanese and half New Zealander, was releasing her new EP. And she often jokes about this, that she serenaded us to get together, because we both went there separately. Got together, got chatting, and then
came over together.
Dating.
To see another way that it was meant to be.
Meant to be, totally.
Yeah, like you moving back from Japan to New Zealand, it was all part of the grand plan.
Yeah.
get you guys together.
Totally.
Yeah. Before that, we'd actually played a lot of music together, though. We used to play at weddings. A lot of our friends asked us to play play at their weddings, and sometimes it was just us as a duo, and sometimes it was a whole band. But yeah, we kind of played a lot of music together, and
yes, we were friends for a few years before we got together.
Yeah, but
that's a good thing to do, though. It's good to know that you can stand the other person.
Yeah, yes. We never saw each other in that way, and then got together, and it kind of was like, how did we not see each other this way?
Yeah.
So
yeah, like light bulb going off moment.
Yeah, yeah,
totally. Yeah, just like that. Right.
There's a couple that they do folk music. They live in New York now, and they were from Nashville, Burns and Christie. And it's a similar story. They were musicians individually and had played different things at the same time or whatever. And I guess he saw her at some – they had a friend who had a wedding or something, and they were both at it. And he said, I'm just going to ask her if she'd like to go on a date. And they did, and then got married and, you know, became a duo, and then had a son and decided, I think I want to move to New York,
wow,
in a more rural part of New York, you know, and kind of raise him there rather than being in Nashville. But they go down there and record, but it's a very similar story.
Awesome.
I think that's so sweet, you know. How music brought you together.
Yeah, it did. I used to go to the same, I started going to the same singing teacher as Fraser before we got together. And I used to get annoyed because the singing teacher was very, very in love, I guess, with Fraser's voice. So during my lesson, she would say, oh, Fraser's voice massages my heart, you know. And I used to think, this Fraser, gosh, I've got to sing with him. He's this good.
Now, see, you know, when you sit back and you look at it and you tell the story,
yeah,
it is really like, you know, the universe was bringing you together.
It was. Yeah, through people, circumstances.
It's quite comedic, really. Everything.
Because you probably look back and go, how did we not get together in the beginning, or how were we missing these things?
What we're thinking is we should have got together 5 years earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Why were we...
Next up is Hold On To You, Naomi's song, which is the artist choice song of the night.
Into port, I feel the sun break through. Nature in rhapsody, a harmonic symphony is what reminds me of you. And on this journey of life, I wanna sail with you. On the purest ocean blue, sailing here in the storm or in the calmest deep, I will hold on to you. Love to feed, and on this journey of life. I wanna sit with you on the purest ocean blue. Sailing here in the storm or in the calmest deep, I will hold on to you. And on this journey of life, I wanna sail with you on the purest ocean blue. Standing here in the storm or in the calmest deep, I will hold on to you.
We've actually got, in the band, we've got another couple as well at the moment. So, and then Christine. So Tim and Christina, and then there's Joel and Matt. So there's six of us at the moment because we want kind of a bigger folk sound. So, which helps you get the bigger festivals. You know, you can play some bigger stages. So,
now with six of you, what instruments do you all bring to the thing.
Naomi can go to first.
A whole lot.
Naomi, what do you
play? So, okay, I started with me. I play the piano or the keyboard, the shakuhachi, harmonica, and...
Sing?
I sing, yep.
I play piano, sing, a bit of harmonica, and I write on the guitar, but I kind of... farm the guitar parts out to Tim, and so Tim plays just guitars, mm-hmm. And then Christine is on vocals and accordion, and a bit of oboe if we can convince her to do that, and Matt plays guitar and slide guitar, or I guess bass.
Banjo,
ukulele. What else does he play? He plays a lot of stuff.
He told us the other day he can play the crutches. And I had to go, pardon? He goes, the crutches. And he picked up a pair of crutches. He had an accident a few years ago and he was on crutches for a long time. He said, a musician, this is what they do. When they get bored, they pick up anything they have around and turn it into an instrument. And he can play it like the flute.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, it's kind of crazy. And then we've got Joel who plays percussion drums and percussion. So.
Yeah,
but so you've got a big band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
we do.
Yeah, Matt kind of fills in the gaps, but apart from that, it is quite a lot going on, but it's a lot of voices, so a lot of harmonies and so on. So
there's 3-4 part harmonies which react.
Oh, Matt also sings, so. Yeah.
So when you're performing or when you're playing somewhere, do you switch up and move to different instruments or different places on the stage or
we do.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of movement. Mainly between Naomi and me, and some of the stages it's quite small, so you're kind of dancing in a meter square.
We try to move smoothly so it's not disrupting the appearance of things. Can't help but, you know, bump into each other.
I know, you know, some of the gigs that I've been to, you know, I'll see the same band, like in April, I've met friends through these concerts, and we'll take when these people tour as an opportunity for us to get together. So we went on a road trip down south through 5 cities to kind of spend a week together, but, you know, following that musician the whole time, and you see different venues, and I'd see them playing on a big stage And then, you know, you get this small stage, and I'm just sitting there thinking, oh, I've seen them do this song before, and somebody's going to hit somebody, you know, there's going to be an accident on the stage because it's so small. And I can't imagine what that's like having to adapt, you know, to be a big band and get on a very small stage.
It's a lot of fun.
Just don't move too much.
Yeah.
Because it's folk, sometimes we don't take the whole band on every stage, and that works, like, you know, there's different ways of doing the songs and so on. Kind of works with folk, but when we do have six of us on stage, there's a lot of dancing around each other. It's quite fun.
The last song of the evening is Oh Love.
Just you and me, oh love.
when I go somewhere, when I go to a different city or a different part of the country, I want to eat something that is local. I don't want to eat at, you know, Taco Bell or McDonald's, because you can get that anywhere. So I want to eat something locally. So I always ask musicians, either somewhere you've toured or vacationed or where you live, where's the one place that you would say people have to go eat, and what is the food that they have to get when they're there?
I reckon maybe seafood is a good one, because New Zealand has a lot of
great
seafood.
We're going, oh gosh, where would it be as you're asking this question?
Seafood's a big one, because of course New Zealand's an island, or a few islands, and couple of main islands, and it's also kind of there's Polynesian Maori influence and the native people here, and they love seafood as well. So yeah, I think probably to experience the New Zealand seafood, and there are a lot of good restaurants around, so I don't know if I could nail one down, but
if you want the local, old-fashioned kiwi food, it's fish and chips on the beach. They'd wrap fish and chips, fried fish or battered fish and chips in newspaper, and give you a little thing of tomato sauce.
Yeah.
And salt and pepper.
That's not gourmet, but it's fun to go on the beach.
So. You sit on a bench and you eat amongst the seagulls and whatever, and see the beautiful views of this.
Or if, I guess restaurant food would be just, some amazing grilled hoki or something like that.
Now, what is that?
So that's a type of fish as
hoki.
Well.
Hoki,
okay.
I don't know how to describe it, is it?
It's definitely something local, because I don't think that we have...
It's called Blue Grenada? Is another word for it? Oh, I don't know.
Okay. So seafood. They definitely need to check out seafood.
New Zealand beef's quite nice.
New Zealand beef is good, yeah.
And lamb.
New Zealand lamb, yeah.
Minted.
Now, see, I can't do that. my husband would eat veal. Right. And when we met, and I said, you can't eat that. And he said, why? And I said, because that's a baby. And I can't, people here, they hunt a lot and they eat deer or venison, and I won't eat that either. And they're like, well, why won't you eat it? I said, if I relate to the food as a Disney character, I can't eat it.
It's true. Hey, there's another, I just sort of saw this, another thing. There's a pub down the road from us that sells ostrich burgers.
That's not so Kiwi.
They use ostrich meat, don't they? I actually have not had it, but every time I go there and I see ostrich food, I get fascinated.
Yeah. There's
something special about having something that's local. You feel like you're part of that culture and community.
Tune in next week for another Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight. That show will feature Satellite Mind, really great music out of Phoenix, Arizona. Hope you'll stick by and enjoy that. Tune in tomorrow night for Twitter Tuesday Live. Until then, see you next week.